Didn't think.
No. I never think about that on Sunday morning. Chocolate. We'll get farther today, too. What's this? How are you, Chuck? Flowers still down. Ferns are still down. Causing trouble somewhere. Morning.
It is
morning. That's a good thing. It always comes about this time of day. We're going to continue on with our series on miracles of Jesus, and we're going to look at the feeding of the 5,000. I like this miracle. It's one that you can touch. It's the one you can. I think the emphasis. The impact. It's one of those things you could put yourself there. Some of the other ones maybe you couldn't, but this one's one of the ones you could put yourself at that scene. Makes it really teachable on a lot of levels. So anyways, we're going to kind of look at that today as the feeding of the 5,000. In case you didn't know, this is the only miracle that's mentioned in all four Gospels. So it's mentioned in Matthew 14, 13 through 21, Mark 6, 30 through 44, Luke 9, 10 through 17, and the basic text that we'll typically use today is John 6, 1 through 14. Anyways, it's in all four Gospels. So it's the only one. It's in a mountain setting, and that picture right there is mine. That is from the Alpine Visitor Center in Rocky Mountain National Park, looking out the back window over a big thing. I like the view there. I follow them on Twitter and Facebook, and they got a camera that they keep take pictures of it. In the wintertime, they say that we got the camera set to take pictures three times a day. If it's white, that means it snowed. If it's blurry, it's covered with ice. If it's upside down, it fell off, and it's going to be that way until spring. Because I think it's 14,000 feet up there. So, you know, they can't get up there. Road's closed. There's a little dirt path on the left side, a dirt road, that looks scary as can be, but you'll see cars driving up there in the summertime that I have no idea how and why. Anyways, that one's pretty neat too. So anyways, that's what that is. So I just put mountains on there. So it takes place in the mountain scene. A lot of Jesus' ministry, but some significant events that happen in Jesus' ministry that also occur on mountains. You get the Sermon on a Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. You get the Transfiguration, Matthew 17. And the Great Commission is given on top of a mountain too. So these are some things that in Jesus' time, Jesus' ministry that happened on a mountain. A lot of things that happened in God's time occurred with mountains too. Sacrifice of Isaac, Genesis 22. The giving of the law, Exodus 19, 20. The defeat of the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings 18. That was a bad scripture reference there. But anyways, yeah. So that's where that kind of stuff happened. God made the mountains. They're his. He uses them. You could do a whole study on mountains. You could do a whole study on trees. And I still think those would be pretty neat series of things to do on. Trees and mountains. But anyways. Jesus is presented as the antitype of Moses, not Jesus. I must be really blurry-eyed to put that kind of stuff on it. He is not merely used by God to provide bread for his people, but is himself sent by God as the life-giving bread to give life for the world. In John 6, 3, 5, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So you got Moses providing bread. Jesus is the bread. All right, we're ready to start on the text. So John 6, 1 through 2. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. So why do you think a large crowd followed him.
It tells you why, right?
So, it tells you because they saw what he was doing to the sick. Was it last week? Weldon taught, what was your lesson on? Lady with the issue of blood, was that it? Was it Chuck? That was Chuck's, all right. And then they brought people from the towns, right? Because they heard about it and they were just bringing them from the towns, it's the same kind of thing. What was yours? Walking on the water, and calming the waves, calming the storm. A little different, wasn't it? Sorry about that. That's backwards. That one, with the people are seeing that kind of thing, and that's why they're following. That's one of the reasons. I got kind of three other reasons here. Well, anyways, the same one, Luke 8, 43 through 44. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Chuck had this lesson, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. So there would be people in the crowd who were seeking relief from this. There would be people who had seen these kind of things happen, and they were following, maybe not for their own good, but maybe with thoughts of their relatives or friends or whatever, to bring them in too. So you've got some of the people in there because of this. They've seen the signs, they've seen the miracles, so part of the crowd's like that. There's another part of the crowd that's there, just curiosity. Luke 23:8, when Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, because when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So here's even a guy, Herod, King Herod, who was curious about Jesus. So, I mean, there's some of them that would just follow just out of sheer curiosity. Why don't we go out there, see what's going on? Chuck?
Some of it's a show. I mean, it's entertainment. I mean,
sure.
Somebody who couldn't walk all of a sudden start to walk. Somebody who has leprosy, it was something you didn't see every day. So.
Yeah, you'd have to be, what's going on here? What, you know, I'm an engineer.
I'd see it again.
Yeah, I want to see it again. Come on, what's the trick? Even if you don't believe, you'd
be... Nazareth, that's exactly... They said, show us some signs.
Yeah.
Entertain us. Like a magician.
Yeah, bring it on. We got it. Just out of curiosity. Some people are there just for that. And it would. It'd be a tremendous show. They got TV shows on.
Well, Doug, remember, they didn't have no TV.
No.
Big stuff back then.
Oh, yeah. Word spread. Yeah, there is no Facebook. There's no Twitter. You're not going to text your friends. Okay, come out here this Saturday. You know, like the big truck race or something. No, but the word's spreading, and they're going to see something that's, believe it or not, they're still coming out to see something that's very different. Some may have considered him to be the potential deliverer of a political Israel, a new kingdom that's going to replace the Romans. Luke 24:21. But he had hoped that he was the one to redeem. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Anyways, this happened after the crucifixion. So some of them were looking for him to be the king, looking for him to boot out the Romans who'd taken over in their area. So some of them were interested in that. So you got a little bit of those reasons. You may get any other reasons. Somebody might just show up to be part of the crowd, to see who knows what. Chuck? Then there's some, you're right. There are a lot that just, they believe. They were figuring it out.
Which was part of the reason he was there.
Yeah.
To teach him who he was. Some of the people could say, I was there. So they could say, I was there.
Yeah, to say I was there. What you see with is it Peter on Acts 2? You go ask. No, it was Paul. Sorry, Paul later on. If you don't believe me, go ask from these people, and they're still alive.
Yeah.
Brent?
Some of them wanted to be healed.
Some of them want to be healed. Yeah. Some of them, why not? That's exactly what I would. I bet you came in about 3 minutes ago, didn't you? That's all right. We had that one up there, but it's okay. But you're right. Actually, you're right. But there's two slides.
Question, why do you go there, is an important question.
Ah, yeah, why you go there isn't really the big question. It's what you do with it.
That's why the show is being put on.
Yeah, it's there so they'll believe. It's there to show them that he is the Son of God. It's another, like, yeah.
God's way of exposing the true intention to the heart.
Sure, it's God's way. He could write it on a rock tablet the same way. He could have had it just written on his own skin. Walked around with a big sign. But it wasn't that way. Lex?
One of the reasons they wanted him to be king and deliver him from the Romans.
Yeah.
That's a practical reason.
It's absolutely practical. It's their land. Back to the promise of Abraham. That's going to be your land. And they believe, they've lost that to the Romans. They believe that they want it back. But you're right. That's actually a practical reason.
Not only.
Yeah, they expected him to. Right?
Yeah, expected him to. Not just wanted him to. Yeah, the expectation that that's what was going to be done. That was a lot of them's understanding that the prophet, the Messiah, he was going to be the king. Chuck?
The thing is, it was crosswise with what his priority was. His priority was not the miracles.
No.
His priority was to be the light of the world.
Yeah, his priority is to be the light of the world, save the lost. So it generates that faith. You can see these things, and it's there for our faith today. But it's they would get these pieces, and they had to determine who he was. Same as we have. What evidence do you have that he's the Son of God? It's written down. All right. Next verse 3. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. In Mark 6:32, they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. So why do you think Jesus went to this with his disciples to a desolate place?
Because it's just like us. You get overwhelmed, you get worn out, you get kind of tired of people.
It seems that way. He's probably tired of people. He's probably a little worn out. He's taking his disciples.
They were following him for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And
take them away to teach them.
Still
have to. Yeah. So he takes them away from the crowds, away from the action, to give them some time to teach them. Lex, do you have your hand up? No? Yeah, this seems to be.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You get too guilty. Yeah, so he might have been taking some time with them, just some one-off time to teach them, to show them. Anyways, the crowds start gathering. This is us back in Rocky Mountain National Park. So kids, Florida kids get to play in snow, you know, once in a lifetime. So it's just, why not? The crowds start gathering. Even though they wanted a little alone time, the crowds start gathering. Verse 4, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. So why do you think crowds traveling for the Passover would come to a desolate location like this? Where's the Passover going to be? Jerusalem. So who would go to the Passover? Faithful Jews. Where do they live?
All over.
Where do they live? All over, right? So they're coming from all over. But this isn't in Jerusalem. It's near Sea of Galilee. So why would they... Okay. Well, he is the fulfillment of the Passover.
For various reasons,
yeah. If you're going to travel 20 miles, 100 miles, what's a few more miles? Whatever your reason is. But you're right. They're already traveling. They might as well go. Even though it seems to be a desolate location, they might as well go. Matthew 14:14, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Mark 6:34, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. So what was the day like? He gets there, Jesus comes ashore, and there's people already there. A good number of people. So what's the day like? What's that?
Busy.
What are they doing?
healing the sick and disease and all that stuff.
You got teaching, you got healing the sick, healing the disease. It's a one-man thing. He's the only one doing it, so they kind of probably have to line up a little bit to get that, right? But it's still a crowd. So that's where most of your day is going with this kind of stuff. He's teaching. He's showing whatever he's teaching them, exposing the gospel. I guess opening up the scriptures to them, the Old Testament to them. But yeah, he's healing. There's people around. But it goes on, seems to go on most of the day. Mark 6, 35, 36. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." So, depends on what time of year this is. Of course, I didn't look. But summertime, who knows? 9 o'clock? 9 o'clock at night, winter time, 3:30. It's in the spring, yeah. It should be in the spring, you're right, I didn't think about that. So it's probably evening, 5, 6, 6 maybe, something like that.
They didn't have daylight savings time.
They didn't have daylight savings time.
Normally 6 is considered the end of the day.
So, yeah, so maybe even 4 or so. All right, so afternoon of some sort. So they know the day is getting closed. They're out in the woods. Not really the woods. They're out in the mountains, but they're out away from everything. They know the people have been there all day, being healed, being taught. So disciples suggest what?
Well, it's actually more, it's about the people, but it's also about them. It's time for a break. They need to eat.
Sure. That's a good point, too. They need to eat. I'm sure they've had jobs of corral.
You don't have to feel bad eating your sandwich in front of all these people that don't have a sandwich.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their suggestion is it's time to eat. They're on top of a mountain. Like I said, I've been on top of a mountain. There's not usually a whole lot to eat on top of the mountain. So what's their suggestion?
Send them away.
Go.
Something to eat.
Go find something to eat. Go to the villages. We could call Domino's, but they don't deliver out here, right? I mean, that's really what it is. They don't have pizza delivery, Chinese delivery. They don't have Chinese delivery in this town, I don't think. But yeah, they can't make that call. You're going to have to go. They don't have food trucks. None of those have shown up yet, right? Did you know there's massive amounts of food trucks, one of the Trek to Mecca that the Muslims make? They have these neon-lit food trucks that line the way because, you know, you got millions of people in town and they need fed and stuff. But anyways, it's just a side note for people. But none of that's happening here. There's no food trucks. There's no concession stand. There's no pizza delivery. You got to go. If you didn't bring food, you got to go find some food.
Plus, it's dark, too, so it's time to stop.
It's probably time to stop, or you're going to camp out right there. So lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him. I got all kinds of questions on it apparently. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so these people may eat?" But rather than heeding the advice of his disciples, what did Jesus do? He tested them. Yeah. He gave them a test. And that's what 6:6 says. He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So Philip, according to what I read, is a local. He's from Bethsaida. So he's from one of the local villages. So basically his question is, you know this town. You know this area. Where do you send them? Where do you get something to eat around here? Where can we go buy bread so all these people can eat? So what kind of test is this? We know it's a test. But Chuck?
It's
one of faith. Yeah. That's a good point. The disciples definitely get it, because you're right, because right here it's Philip. The second is Andrew. They all participate in it, but not so much in the receiving end of it, but more in the serving part of it. They see that they start out with this much, but end up, what's left over is way more.
Well, Doug, so, it's like water and wine, because the servants see the water put in the jugs.
Yeah. Yeah, they see it firsthand. They're not just the receiving end of it, and they've seen the miracle. And right, disciples will see that too. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread could not be enough for each of them to get a little. So how did Philip do on the test?
He failed.
He's like the rest of us. He failed. We've done the same thing. Huh? He failed to comprehend the question. He failed to comprehend the abilities. He thinking in worldly terms. You know, Chuck?
Just think how frustrating it was with Christ. All day long, you've been watching
Yeah.
Heal people, miracles all day long. And then you say, they ought to go off because we can't do it.
Yeah, it just,
are they ever going to get
it? Yeah, if we can make people walk, blind people see, maybe even a dead person or two raised, I can do all that, but I can't make pizza, right? I can't get subs made out of the rocks or anything. Yeah, they.
You think he probably says that to them? I think he probably says that to them. Why can't they get it?
He probably looks at this and says, oh.
Why can't they get it?
Yeah, it hadn't changed a bit. We do that. We pray for people who have needs. We pray for our own needs. But we forget sometimes what can be provided by God. I can't wash away the sins that I've committed in the past. I got to carry them around with me all the time. That's a common thought. But the same person would come here looking for a cure for a hangnail, cure for cancer, anything and everything between, but they don't believe they can be forgiven for sin. So, yeah, it's a common thing. So how much is 200 denarii? How much money is that?
Probably a day's wages. 200 days of work.
Close. Say it, Lloyd.
200 days of work.
200 days worth of work. So, yeah, if you're a government worker, that's a full year's work. unless you're a senator, and that's 2 years' work. What's that?
And benefits for life.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be an engineer and not work at all.
Oh, yeah.
<That's>, started this.
This is rough. A denarius is a laborer's day's wages is what it is. So denarii is just plural denarius. In today's world, an 8-hour day, if you made it $12.50 an hour, which is not unheard of course, but that would come out to $100. Okay, $100 for a denarius. We use that just because I use that because it's round. 200 times 100 is what? 20 grand. All right. 20 grand sounds like, well, it's 20 grand a good amount of money or what for lunch, for dinner? Anybody want to spend 20 grand for dinner? Feed us all? That's a good chunk of change, right? I mean, that's like NBA players picking up the bar tab from their buddies. That's kind of that level of money. But that's a lot of money. So where are you going to get?
Well, that's not even going to feed them. That's to give them a bite.
That's to give them a bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you really
feed them, now you're talking a lot more money.
Because when you really get down to it, and it says there's 5,000 men, because they didn't count the women, they didn't count the kids. So there might be as many as 20,000 in this crowd. So that's $1 worth of food apiece. What are you going to eat for $1? Not much. The snack bar at the soccer field, I think a hamburger is $2. Hot dog, I don't know what a hot dog is, $1. I think at the football game Thursday night, I think a hot dog was it was $2. $2 at the Titusville High football game for a hot dog. So yeah, what are you going to get? Half a hot dog. No drink, go drink out of the hose out back, okay? So that's about what that money will buy. But it's a lot of money to come up with just on the spot. But again, they're thinking in earthly terms. So if you're in Philip's place, you're tasked with coming up with an idea for feeding this crowd, because you know the area, but you're faced with the fact that it's going to take a whole lot more money than you think there's going to be around, how would you feel? Frustrated is probably a good word. Yeah. He gave me this job to do. I can't do it. How do I go back to him and say, no way? Even if I knew the best places in town to go, places that would deliver out here, places that would make it for cheap, it just ain't going to happen.
Was Bethany even big enough to provide that much food?
No, probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Crystals one time and got behind the guy that ordered 100 Crystals for his soccer team. That's not the place to be when they can make them pretty quick and they make a lot of time, but when you get behind the guy that asked for 100, it's going to take a while. Yeah. You get behind a guy that ordered 20 crystals, I mean 20,000 crystals, 20,000 hamburgers, 5,000 pizzas. Call Papa John's and ask, see what they do. How long would it take you guys to make 5,000 pizzas? Yeah, that kind of stuff. Ungodly is not really the best word, I guess, since he does it. But anyways, you can't find a restaurant. You can't call all the restaurants in town, in a town the size of Titusville. Can you feed 20,000 people for dinner? You call all the restaurants in town and say, this is what I want to do. You can't do it. You can't do it. John 6, verses 8 through 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What are they for so many? Not wanting to give up, Andrew comes out with the greatest idea of all. A kid's lunch. Okay? Is that a great idea? Sure. It works, but that's his idea. This kid's got a lunch. He's got 5 crackers and 2 sardines in his lunch. Kids about that age, holding about that much food, not snow, food. Okay? You get the idea. That's what he had in his hand. He's going to feed 20,000. What do you think the other disciples thought about that? How do you think they responded? 11 of them laughing right there. Yeah, maybe 10. Philip's still he's still thinking about it, and Andrew walks up with that idea, and Philip's like, at least I'm off the hook. Now I can laugh at me now. Yeah, really? Kid's lunch?
That should have been their takeout.
Yeah. Yeah, if they split the kid's lunch just among them, it wouldn't have been their takeout. It wouldn't have been enough.
What is the size of a barley loaf?
It's a kid's lunch. How much could it possibly be, right? You think of a loaf of bread. I don't.
What's he doing with 5 loaves of bread?
And I'm almost thinking, you ever seen those hard bread sticks about the size of a cigar? That's kind of what I'm thinking, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if it was the size of a loaf of bread, he's quite the kid carrying that around. I'm kind of thinking those little cigar-shaped hard ones, you know what I'm talking about? Barley's not very good at all. No, you get what you get. You're on the side of a mountain, you get what you get. Yeah, I packed my kids' lunches for years. If you took Grant's lunch, he's 8th grade, you grab his lunch, try to split amongst us. We got 1 peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a pack of potato chips of some sort, probably Doritos, because that's his favorite, yogurt, maybe some grapes, Gatorade. How's that going to split? Right here, we got 30 of us in here. Clayton, you ready for a 30th of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Yeah.
Just pass it on, right? Let your dad have your share too. Yeah, what's that going to do? Yeah, that's just one kid's lunch. But that's, they had to be thinking that kind of thing. So do you think Andrew believed this would be of any real value? Andrew himself, he brings his kid in. He's got a lunch.
He says, what are days for so many?
Yeah.
Down.
This is what I found. Maybe there's other kids out there in this whole crowd that have something like this too, but it's still not anything. But I've been beating the bushes and I came up with a little bit of food. Maybe they can feed themselves. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. So regardless of how Philip, Andrew, and the other disciples felt about the situation, how did Jesus respond to it? What's that?
He solves the problem.
He solves the problem, yeah. So he starts out with what? Tell them to sit down. We don't eat standing up, right?
You can imagine all the sheep are getting freaked out at the standard time, so you need to get them to sit down and calm them down.
You're right. You got 20,000 people. I've been to Orlando Magic game. That's maybe 20,000 people at that. I know Florida Field holds, what, 100,000? 92,000. Try to organize 92,000 people to do anything, right? That's a lot of people. You've probably seen it in the parking lot, right? That just don't work too well. Sit down. Everybody have a seat. Yeah, right. Didn't they all stand up for the Star Spangled Banner? Most of them? That's pretty good. That's something that's kind of, for that to happen, like you say, the Star Spangled Banner, they all got one mind. They all got one heart. That's why they do it. Jesus says, sit down. And 20,000 people, sit down. You know, Chuck gets up here on a regular basis behind that microphone and tells people, welcome, have a seat. Most of them do. You know, you lead singing, want to stand up. Some of them do. But, you know, but there's 20,000. There's a crowd. There's no amps. There's no microphones. He just tells them to sit down. How many people in the crowd? I've already said it, but anyways, how many?
5,000 men.
5,000 guys. That don't count the women. Don't count their wives. Don't count the women who are widows. Don't count the women who doesn't count the kids. It's just 5,000 men. Crowd might be 20,000. That's just a guess. Who knows? But that's probably a decent guess. Mark 6:40 says they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. All right. So all y'all here and the ones in the fellowship room make about 50. Sit down together and wait. Okay? What would it be like if 50 of y'all go out here in the grass to go sit down and wait for something? That's how we'll do Sandwich Social next week, I think. We're going to 50 in the front and 50 in the back, and we'll bring out food, okay? Would that work? What? Lex doesn't like it?
Oh, I said if I sat down in the grass, you'd have to call me.
If that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to be, typically it's a little chaos to it, but they did. They broke up on their own. I do this with my soccer team. Y'all split. You're the green team and you're the orange team. Figure it out for yourselves. 9 here, I want 9 there. Inevitably, it'd be 3 and 6. You know, that's how they do it. You know, it'd be 3 and 12. We have a drill, we make 4 lines. We start every practice with the same drill. I want the even numbers in all 4 of these lines. Never. You know, but I try to tell them the smartest team wins, fastest team wins. You need to be smart enough to organize yourself. Because when you're on the field, there's 22 of you, you got to be smart enough to know where to go and how to work it. Chuck?
You said even numbers in the lines. There's 2 and 1, there's 4 and 1, there's 6 and 1, there's even numbers.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's how it is. And it'll shift. You'll see it. It'll be like, okay, let's get this back like 4, 4, 4, and 4. And all of a sudden it'll be 2, 6, 1. And it's like, I'll get back. It's tough. But they do it. They sit down in groups of 50, groups of 100. They mill around, they find their families, they find people, and they get in these groups of 50s and 100s. So we talked about it. They're all one heart is why they follow his instructions. They've seen his healings. They came there because they've heard. They've seen it all day long. They've heard his teachings. They've seen his healings. They got to believe if it's coming out of his mouth, it's going to happen. He says, sit down. There's a reason he's up there saying sit down. So they all follow his instructions. What do you think they're thinking? It's got to be, right? Now what? Now what? We've heard teaching. We've seen healing. We know it's dinner time. Now what? Exodus 16, verses 4 through 5. When the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people can go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So this is when manna was going to start happening. Could Jesus possibly provide for us like Moses has done? They're Jews. They know of Moses. They know what he did for the nation of Israel. They know about the manna. Right? You know they've heard that story. We've heard that story, and they had. So could he possibly provide like God provided through Moses? It's got to be in their head. But even like that, one thing I see in there that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So if you know that verse, they may remember that part, they might be saying, even if he provides like God did through Moses, will be some kind of test? Am I supposed to, how do I handle this? Not take too much, not take too little? It doesn't need ketchup and mustard? I don't need to dip it in ranch? God provides it, it's good enough. There's all kinds of things that we're going through in our head. So, I mean, there's conversations going with the 50s and the 100s. 2 Kings 4, 42 through 44. A man from Baal Shalisha. Is that really it? Baal Shalisha? I don't know. Who knows, right? Bringing a man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elisha said, "Give to the man that they may eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 men?" So he repeated, "Give them to the men that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left, according to the word of God. I think I've taught this miracle probably 25 times at different levels, on different classes and stuff. Never before have I ever seen the story of Elisha doing exactly the same thing, God through Elisha. Has anybody else seen this one before? I've never seen it. You've read over it. But it's the same miracle, right? This guy's got a little of his first fruits. He's bringing it in. And they feed 100. And there's some left. Just happens. Yeah, you don't see them multiplying.
Yeah, you don't see the bread start multiplying. You know, like what we used to on TV. It just happens.
It just happens. Right. It just happens. 6:11. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. So he takes these 5 cigar-sized crackers and these 2 fish, reaches in his little bag, and passes out to this 50, enough, more than enough to eat. It just happens. And he takes the same thing over here. It just happens. Every group he goes to, if there's 20,000 of them, there's 200 groups of 50. It might be as many as, 400 groups of 50, 200 groups of 100. Every group, he reaches in the bag where the kids' lunch was, and brings out food for that man.
What do you think was going through their mind when they got it out to the third person and it was slowly gone? And it was still coming.
Yeah. And I don't know, I mean, did he break it and he puts it in a basket and hands it to them? Did he hand him a half of a stick of bread and a whole piece of fish?
Gave them all they wanted.
But he eats what he wants, he passes it on, they pass it on. Everybody that passes, like our communion here. You take what you want, but it, unfortunately, our community stuff runs out. If you sit in the back, you understand that sometimes.
You often wonder how, if somebody had me a bag, a little bag of something, told me to give everybody something.
Yeah.
I'd probably start out giving just a little bit each one.
Sure. That's exactly what you do.
Make it last, yeah.
I saw where it started from. Now, I'm not passing out big handfuls. Nah, have what you want. Don't worry about the other 99 of us. We'll take care of ourselves. But yeah, by faith, you reach in and give them more than enough. Yeah, it just happens. I mean, there's the description of it. He takes the loaves, gives thanks, and he distributes them. That's it. So how many bread and fish did each receive?
As much as they wanted.
All they wanted. More than that dollar's worth, right? Right. All they want, that the dollar that Philip was worrying about, that dollar's worth, that 200 denarii, which would break up to about a buck's worth a piece, far exceeds that. He's taking everybody down to the Chinese buffet. You plop down your money and you eat all you want, and there's plenty left over. This is kind of what it becomes. It's multiplied. Provision surpassed the tidbit that even 200 denarii would have failed to supply, so also the true bread from heaven, who gives life to the world, far outstrips manna in the desert. The bread that God provided in the desert between Egypt and Canaan, it fed those people, fed 1 million of them, 2 million of them, 7 days a week, every single day. But what God gives us from heaven, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, will sustain us always. John 6:12-13, when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be left, lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. Start out with a kid's sack lunch. They collect the leftovers. They fill 12 baskets. Maybe they filled baskets this big. Yeah, maybe they filled baskets this big. Whatever. They filled baskets. Way more than they started with, and everybody was full. Why? Why pick up the leftovers? Waste not one. There you go. God provides. He didn't say it was a gluttonous feast. He didn't say we're going to roll you out of here. Right? He provided. This is the Jewish way then. It's the way now. Pick up the leftovers. 12 baskets worth. What do you think they did with them? I don't know. I just always wondered that question. I don't know what they did with them either. But they did, and that's part of the faith-based thing too. You saw what we started with, you saw what happened, and you see we could do this forever. 20,000 people, no big deal. 1 million people, still no big deal. John 6:14, when the people saw the sign he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet, capital P, who is coming to the world. What's their response? Maybe in, they kind of got it wrong. Kind of got it right, kind of got it wrong. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is him, it is to him you shall listen. This is Moses' words. So they saw him as the prophet, which might point to this, the prophet like Moses that they're supposed to listen to. But he's more than that. But you won't see that until he's on the cross. They can only see what they see. So yeah, some of them see that. One verse left. John 6:15. Perceiving men then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Some of the crowd wants to make him king. They're seeing, we already talked about that political savior. There's some of them want to do that with him. There's some later in verses 6 and 66. They'll continue following him. They'll hear his teaching. They say, this is just way too hard. And they wander off. Shortly after feeding these people, he goes to the other side of the sea. Some follow him because they want another free meal. He doesn't give it to them. Some of them will fall off. Some will believe. Some will follow. Some will see things like Lazarus back from the dead. Some will be at the triumphal entry. And somebody saying who ate barley and ate fish will yell, crucify him. And that's amazing in and of itself. So anyways, there it is. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Next week, lepers are cleansed. So if you got friends who are lepers, bring them in. And don't bring them in, sorry. Yeah. But we're going to hear what happened when lepers are cleansed. So thank you all.